بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، أفضل الصلوات وأتم التسليمات على مبعوثه رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وصحبه أجمعين. So we continue to read in تدريب السالك إلى قراءة أقرب المسالك في مذهب الإمام مالك. A brief treatise on مالك الفقه in the مذهب of إمام دار الهجرة سيدنا الإمام مالك بن أنس رضي الله عنه. And we have reached the chapter dealing with prayer, and we have finished the obligations or the fara'id of the prayer, and now the author moves on to the sunan, or those acts that are highly recommended, and also they'll be considered to be those things if they are omitted for whatever reason, out of forgetfulness, then they generally are going to have to recommend it or required what's called sujood al-sahw, or prostration of forgetfulness, which we'll not talk about now, but this will come up in a later chapter specifically about what to do when one of these sunan are missed or omitted out of forgetfulness. So generally they would not be omitted at all. They would be things that we would do and not omit, even though they're considered not to be obligations. So he says, rahimahullah wa sunanuha, the prayer that is, قراءة آية أو بعض آية يتم الكلام به بعد الفاتحة في غير الثالثة والرابعة وندب إكمال سورة. So the first sunnah, in terms of what we would probably do after reading the Fatiha, which is an obligation, he says قراءة آية أو بعض آية. Reciting a verse or part of a verse of the Quran with the stipulation يَتِمُّ الْكَلَامُ بِهِ بَعْدَ الْفَاتِحَةِ. Right, so بَعْدَ الْفَاتِحَةِ is actually not referring to that part. يَتِمُّ الْكَلَامُ بِهِ, in other words, that it completes a sentence or completes the meaning intended in the verse. That's important because you can't read part of a verse and then the meaning is not completed. So if you were to read a verse, for example, وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, stop. That's actually the opposite of the meaning. And we have not created the heavens and the earth. You have to continue the verse. وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ لَاعِبِينَ. We have not created the heavens and the earth in vain. Now the meaning is complete. So it has to be a full ayah, something like Ayatul Kursi, for example. The verse of the throne in Surah Al-Baqarah is a full ayah that can be read after the Fatiha, or part of an ayah where the meaning is complete. يتم الكلام به بعد الفاتحة في غير الثالثة والرابعة, and not in the third and fourth units of prayer. So the third and fourth units are only going to have Surah Al-Fatiha. They're not going to have a surah or another chapter that is recited after. ونُدِبَ إِكْمَالُ سُورَةً. So نُدِبَ means not sunnah, but it's recommended that you read an entire surah rather than just part of a chapter. And so you'll find people who are very, I would say, strictly adhering to the Maliki school, they tend to read the shorter surahs. And it will come up in Al-Mandubat, which is coming up in a little bit, about which particular chapters of the Qur'an to read, depending upon which prayer it is. I'm not going to go over that now, it's going to come up in a little bit. So they tend to read entire surahs that will come generally from the last two juz of the Mus'haf, the last two 30. If the Quran is divided into 30 equal parts, then the last two 30 parts, the 29th and 30th juz, generally they'll read from that, because you can read an entire surah and it wouldn't take that long. And it's obviously talking about the fard prayer in this particular case, which are going to be a little more strict. Nawafid, which are prayers that are voluntary, are going to have slightly relaxed rules, like being able to sit down, and as we saw when we talked about the Qibla, not having to face in the prayer direction if you're traveling, even if it's a nafil prayer. And more of those details will be forthcoming. So the first sunnah then, to read a chapter, preferably, or a verse, or part of a verse that completes a meaning after Surah Al-Fatiha, in the first and second rak'ahs. So that would be for the subah prayer, both rak'ahs, because it's only two. And then the dhuhr and asr would be the first two of each. Maghrib would be the first two, not the third. And then Isha would be the first two. وجهر أقله أن يسمع من يليه في الجمعة والصبح وأولي المغرب والعشاء. And جهر, which is to read audibly, to recite audibly, جهر audibly, أقله, the minimum that we consider to be audible, أن يسمع من يليه. يسمع من يليه means that if someone is praying next to you or behind you, they hear what you're saying. That's the minimum of what's called jahar, to read audibly. When are you going to read audibly? In the Jum'ah prayer, so the two rak'ahs that come after the khutbah or the sermon, you're going to read audibly in that. The subah prayer. And just as a note here, I'm going to use subah from here on in that fajr, because in the Maliki school, when we say the morning prayer, that's fard, that's obligation, we say subah. And when we're talking about the recommended prayer that comes before it, we say fajr. So people usually say salat al-fajr and they mean the obligatory prayer, but in the Maliki school, it's a little more specific. And we say subah for the fard and fajr for the nafl. So the subah prayer also is an audible prayer. Wa'u'alay, and the first two rak'ahs of maghrib and isha. This is where the jahar or the audible reading will be. So for men, it will be loud enough that someone who's praying with you can hear you. What if nobody's with you? You still read just as loud, just as audibly. But that's the criteria. For women, it's enough that they can hear themselves. And obviously she's not going to lead the Jum'ah, but for the Subah and the first two rak'ahs of Maghrib and Isha, that would be the case. So what do you do everywhere else? Al-Qara'atu Sirran. Sirran means that you read, but not very audibly. What is the minimum for sirran? They said tahrik al-shafatayn, to move the lips. This is an important part because sometimes people tend not even to do that, and they read or they recite, and it kind of is going on in their head, and they're not really moving their lips. So there has to be a movement of the lips. That's the minimum for the sir. What's the maximum? Well, it's the maximum for the sir, or the silent prayer, is the same as the minimum for the audible reading. So only to hear yourself. That would be the maximum for al-qira'atu sirran. Right, so you'd say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, that's kind of the maximum you do for sir. And then for jahar, what's the maximum for audible recitation? There is no maximum. In the haram, you have loudspeakers, and it could be heard from miles away. So there's no maximum, but I would say we would still have a kind of a sensitivity to not making it too loud, because people are not actually involved in the prayer. There is nothing meritorious about having them hear people praying. So sometimes you have in some Muslim majority countries where they have the loudspeakers on and the prayer is going on audibly where everyone else around them can hear it. This is not a recommended thing, even though it may be a practice in some places. It's just enough for the people in the congregation inside the masjid to hear it is what's required. طيب, that's the second one. The third one, sunnah, that is, التكبير للركوع والسجود وللرفع منه وللقيام من التشهد. So takbir, outside of takbirat al-ihram, which we went over last time, when you say Allahu Akbar, and you what's called takbirat al-ihram, you've entered into the sanctity of the prayer, the inviolability. That's what ihram means, dukhul al-haram, right? Inside the sacred space of the prayer, you say Allahu Akbar to signify that. That's obligatory. All the other ones that are going to be said during the movements of the prayer are going to be sunnah. So there are a few. One, at-takbir lil-ruku'a. So when you going in a standing position, and you go down to the bowing position, ruku'a, you say Allahu Akbar. Was-sujood. And also, when you come back up from the ruku'a, and you say Sami'a Allahu min hamida, which is also a sunnah, which is the next one. And then you go down for the sujood, you say Allahu Akbar. Wal-rafa'i minhu. And also coming back up from sujood, you also say Allahu Akbar. وَالْقِيَامِ مِنَ التَّشَهُّدِ. And also if you're in the middle sitting or the tashahud, once you finish, the testification of faith, and you're setting up for the third rak'ah, the third unit, you're also going to say Allahu Akbar when you stand. So for the tanaqqulat, or for the movements between different intervals of the prayer, you're going to say Allahu Akbar in all of them, except one. Which one? The next line. وَقَوْلُوا سَمِعَ اللَّهُ مِنْ حَمِدَهُ لِلْإِمَامِ وَالْفَذِّي فِي الرَّفْعِ مِنَ الرُّكُوعِ. So saying سَمِعَ اللَّهُ مِنْ حَمِدَهُ, Allah hears the one who praises him. That's what it literally means. You are to say that when you are rising from the bowing position. So you're down like this, and then you come back up. You say سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمِنْ حَمِدَهُ. For who? الْفَذِّ وَالْإِمَامِ. Who is the imam? The one who's leading a prayer is going to say Sami Allahu min Hamida. Fadh means the one who's praying as an individual by themselves. Who's left? That's not included in that those two categories. What we call al-ma'mum. Al-ma'mum is the one who's praying behind the imam. So does he say Sami Allahu min Hamida like the imam? No. He's actually answering that. So when we say Allah, here's the one who praises him, then we say Rabbana laka al-hamd, or Rabbana wa laka al-hamd. And our Lord, to you is due all praise. This is for the ma'mum. That is not a sunnah, because if you miss it and you're the ma'mum, there's nothing that you do. You don't have to do a prostration of forgetfulness. So it should come up in the mandubat, and what's considered to be the recommended acts, but not to the degree that if you leave them out, that there's going to be some sort of expiation for it, or sujood al-sahw. Tayyib, so we said the qira'at of the surah, we said the audible reading when it's called to be audible. The takbir is the third. Sami Allahu al-Hamid is the fourth. The fifth, at-tashahud al-awwal. So the tashahud means the testification of faith in a more than two rak'ah prayer. So that would be all the prayers except the subah prayer. So dhuhr, asr, maghrib, and isha, the middle or the first testification of faith after you complete two units or two rak'ahs. Where you say التحياتُ لله الزاكياتُ لله الطيباتُ لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته إلى آخره. This is called the تشهد. والجلوس له, and sitting down for it. So it's two separate things, two separate sunnahs. So the تشهد, which is the actual words that you say, and sitting down while you're doing the تشهد. اللفظ له. والتشهد الثاني, and also the second tashahud, which comes in the third rak'ah in Maghrib, or in the fourth in Dhuhr and Asr and Isha. Wal julusu lahu, and also sitting down for it. So those are all sunnah. So that's five. Rad, the sixth one, waraddu salam ala man ala yasarihi in sharakahu fi rak'ah. And also to say the salam to the one who is on your left, if there's someone on your left. So this means if you are ma'mum, right? If you are someone who is praying and there's someone on your right and then someone on your left. So if you're by yourself or you're the imam, you would not say the salam to the left. So for the imam or the one praying by themselves, they say assalamu alaikum. Without rahmatullah or barakatuh, assalamu alaikum is the Maliki school, just once. And you would say assalamu alaikum to the left if someone is on your left. Up until the point where we talked about the tashahud, all of those would be the ones that would be considered in that if you miss them or you omit them, you need some type of prostration, sujood, or you would be recommended to do it, depending on how many of them you missed. The ones from here on it don't have that. So Radd al-Salam is to your left. If you forget to do it, there's no expiation for that. There's no sujood al-sahw. The next one after that, that's also sunnah, al-jahru bi taslimat al-tahleel, which means being audible when you say the first salam, whether you're the imam or you're the ma'mum. As-salamu alaykum. So to be loud enough that you hear yourself is a sunnah. والزيادة على قدر الطمأنينة في الأركان. الزيادة على قدر الطمأنينة في الأركان. So, طمأنينة we said is an obligation, which is to remain motionless, right, without movement in each integral of the prayer, if even only a moment. That's an obligation. He says الزيادة على قدر الطمأنينة. So to even stay a little bit longer than what's obligatory is also considered to be a sunnah, right? So it's not just staying there for a second, but staying a little bit longer is a sunnah. It's better to do. والسترة للإمام والفذي إن خاف من يمر وأقلها طول ذراع وغلظ رمح ولا يبعد عنها أكثر من ثلاث أذرع. Sutra is what's considered to be sort of like a something to designate the prayer area in front of you where you're going to make sujood. There's a hadith in Bukhari on Prophet ﷺ that he said that if someone tries to stop you, if someone tries to cross in front of you while you're praying, then you should prevent them from doing so. And it's also sunnah to take a sutra to indicate that. So the sutra is going to be an object that you're going to put in front of you. And here he describes it. He says, لِلْإِمَامُ وَالْفَذْ إِنْ خَافَ مَنْ يَمُرْ. So it's only sunnah if you're afraid someone's going to pass in front of you. إِنْ خَافَ مَنْ يَمُرْ. Someone's going to pass. وَقَلُّهَا طُولُ ذِرَاعَ وَغِلْدُ رُمْحَ. So in terms of the space in front should not be, the minimum should be a dhira', which is about an arm span's length, and it should be not more than three if you're going to do it. And it should be something that stands up, not just something that is flat on the floor. Like, the thickness of a spear, something like that. And that's only if you fear someone is going to cross in front of you. It's not something that the Prophet ﷺ really did, this idea of sutra. And generally, I would say, if you're praying in a masjid and you are by yourself, then you try to have a natural one, like a wall or a column or something like this. If you are going to be in a masjid where that's really impossible, like Masjid al-Haram, like the Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, you cannot have an expectation that no one's not going to cross in front of you. So in that case, this is an exception. We don't worry about people crossing back in front of us, back and forth, even though you also see people insisting on pushing people back and so forth. And if someone, even if you put a sutra, still crosses in front of you, don't misinterpret the hadith, right? That and if he insists, فَلْيُقَاتِلْهُ فَإِنَّهُ شَيْطَانٌ, then fight him because he is a shaitan. It doesn't mean that you're kind of like doing karate moves and kung fu moves to keep the guy from crossing in front of you. It means that he's a distraction, so fight him as a distraction like you would fight the shaitan. In other words, don't worry about him passing in front of you. It's okay. If there's an ithim, right, if there's a sin, it's upon him. And the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ said it's better for someone to wait 40-something, although we didn't indicate whether it was 40 years or weeks or days, whatever it might be, but some period of time, then to cross in front of someone who's praying. So it just means there's kind of a sacred space there that's in front of people, and it should not be easily violated. We should also keep in mind, in the Maliki school, for example, after prayer, that it's not actually a sunnah to get up and do the sunnah prayers immediately. It's actually better to wait a little bit to have some fasl. This is contrary to the Hanafi school. The Hanafi school says you do it immediately. The Maliki school says you wait a little bit. One of the reasons being that you allow people to leave, who need to leave, especially on Jummah. And in fact, the Malikiya say, especially on Jummah, it's not that recommended to offer a sunnah prayer right after. Because the Quran kind of indicates, فَإِذَا قُلِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. If the prayer is finished, then disperse and seek out of Allah's bounty. In other words, go back to the things that you were doing, whatever that you were doing, and if the prayer has been finished. So we should not get too obsessive about this idea of sutra. Some people do that very much to a degree that's very offensive, I think. It should be something that if you think someone's going to pass in front of you, it's okay to put something, to indicate that, like stand in front of a wall or put a chair or something like that. But generally speaking, it's not something we would do regularly to worry about too much. Second, after that, وَإِنْصَاتُ الْمُقْتَدِي فِي الْجَهْرِ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْمَعْ إِمَامَهُ. So al-muqtadi or al-ma'mum is the one who's praying behind the imam, So in the jahar, when he's reading audibly, you should not be reciting anything, and you should insult, means try to listen to what he's reciting, even if you can't hear him, if he's too far away and you can't hear him, but you know he's reciting, it's better to just try to listen to what they're saying. وهل السجود على اليدين والركبتين وصدور القدمين واجب أو سنة خلاف والصحيح أنه سنة. And prostrating on the hands, when we do the prostration, the sujood يعني, and the two knees, and the balls of the foot, صدور القدمين, is that wajib or is that a sunnah? The mashhur is that it's sunnah. In other words, the dominant opinion that it's sunnah to do that. That we hit all of those body parts while we're doing sujood. And we talked about earlier about the forehead and the nose, and if that you miss the nose, it's not an obligation, but it's a strong sunnah to have both the forehead and the nose prostrating, touching the ground when you do that. So that concludes what he calls a sunan, like the very strong sunan. And as we said, the last five or six we mentioned are not the ones that we need to do sujood as-sahw, but they remain sunnah anyway. Then he goes into what's called al mandubat. Mandubat are recommended acts. So the first one he mentions, رفع اليدين حال الإحرام والجهر بتكبيراته. So raising the arms when you do Allahu Akbar in the beginning, the Ihram. So it's actually, one should do it while they are saying, so you say, Allahu Akbar. So you have the Allahu Akbar lasting throughout the go'a, putting the hands up and putting them down. So it takes up the whole time. Not Allahu Akbar, and then you move your arms. Allahu Akbar. Akbar. And generally, you want to raise them to about shoulder length, shoulder height, sorry, like this, more or less. Some people go like this, but more, kind of have your hands a little 45 degrees, more or less, facing towards the ground. وَالْجَهْرُ بِتَكْبِيرَاتِهِ تَكْبِيرَاتِهِ, sorry. And also saying that audibly, Allahu Akbar, saying it, that's مِنَ الْمَنْدُوبَاتِ, whether it's a silent prayer or an audible prayer. وتطويل قراءة في الصبح قراءة في الصبح والظهر وتقصيرها في العصر والمغرب والتوسط في العشاء. This is what I alluded to earlier about how much should we recite in terms of the second chapter after the Fatiha and some of the prayers. So he says تطويل قراءة, so it should be longer في الصبح, in the morning prayer, and the ظهر prayer. He doesn't mention it here, but the صبح prayer is longer than the morning, the morning prayer is longer than the Dhuhr prayer, or the noon prayer. وَتَقْصِيرُهَا فِي الْعَصْرِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ, and shorter recitation in Asr and Maghrib. وَالتَّوَسُّطُ فِي الْعِشَاءِ, and something in between for Salat al-Isha. Like what? He says, فِي طَوَالِ الْمُفَصَّلِ, right? So from the longer, short surahs. We have the Qurra, they assign what's called al-Mufassal, the مِنْ كَثْرَةِ الْفَصْلِ. So the chapters that are in the last two juz of the Qur'an, more or less, or actually three, they're not that long. And so there's a lot of separation between them. The separator is called fasl. So mufassal means, you know, many, many chapters in a short amount, short surahs. So tawal al-mufassal, right, min surat qaf ila abasa. So if you go to the juz were Surah Al-Qafif, Qaf, and Qur'an Al-Majid. That's the beginning of Tawal Al-Mufassal, the longer surahs. So Qaf would be something like you would read in Al-Fajr, the Subah prayer, because it's from Tawal Al-Mufassal. Ila Surah Abasa, until Abasa, in juz Amma, all of those are called Tawal Al-Mufassal. Right, so Qaf, wa Surah Al-Naba, wa Al-Mursalat, and all of those surah are considered to be Tawal al-Mufassal. وَالْوَسَطُ مِنْهَا إِلَى الضُّحَى. Then from Abasa to Surah al-Duha is called Al-Wasat. And then anything after al-Duha to the end of the Mus'haf, right, like with Dini was Zaytun, Ida Ja'a Nasrullah Allahi wal Fath, all of those in Juz Amma, the second half more or less, those are going to be called Qisar, or the shorter surahs. So those would be the ones you'd read like in Asr and Maghrib. And then the Wasat would be anything between Abasa and Salat al-Duha, Surat al-Duha. And then from the longer ones, which is Qaf all the way to Abasa, which would you be reading in the Dhuhr and the morning on the Subah prayer. Again, these are recommended things. It's not, you have to do them. Sometimes you may go outside of this. If you are a Qari and you have the Quran memorized, and part of your wird is to, you know, to do a recitation of the Quran in your fard prayers, then this is, that's maybe better for you. Here we're talking about kind of a general case where that may not, you know, you're not necessarily a hafiz of Quran, but you're someone who's kind of trying to follow the Maliki school in this particular regard, then this is what is recommended. What else is min al-mandubat? At-tasbihu fi al-ruku'a wa sujud. Right, tasbih means saying Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhanallah bihamdihi. So any of those words, tasbih means something of this Subhan. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim in ruku', Subhana Rabbi al-A'la is fine. Subhanallah bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim, also all good. To be recited in the ruku' and the sujood. And the Malikis don't have a particular number that you need to do. Some of the other, but I haven't mentioned three. But you can do three, you can do five, you can do seven. If you want to do witr, which is an odd number, that's fine. But there's no particular number you need to do. We know that the fard, the obligation, is that you remain motionless at least. And I would say if you're praying fard and you're the imam and you have people behind you, then you should take that in consideration. If you're praying by yourself and you're praying a nafil prayer and no one is behind you, then you can take as long as you want in the sujood and in the ruku'ah, that's okay. But to keep in mind, and I think it comes up in Bab al-Imamah, that should be considered. It should be a consideration. وَالدُّعَاءُ فِيهِ وَبَيْنَ السَّجْدَتَيْنِ. So du'a fihi goes back to a sujood. So du'a, which is to make a supplication during sujood, not in the ruku'ah. So what type of du'a? Any du'a that you want to make. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب so forth وعلى ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. Any du'a you want to make in the sujood is recommended. وبين السجدتين. بين السجدتين means you went for prostration, you come back, Allahu Akbar. The minimum you could say, رَبِّكْ فِرْلِي وَرْحَمْنِي وَتُوبْ عَلِي. If you want to say that, رَبِّكْ فِرْلِي وَرْحَمْنِي وَتُوبْ عَلِي. When you are in the sitting between the two sujood. But again, there's nothing specific. You can say anything that you want. وَتَمْكِينُ الْيَدَيْنِ مِنَ الرُّكْبَتَيْنِ فِي الرُّكُوعِ. Which means, تَمْكِينَ الْيَدَيْنِ. So when you're in the ruku'a, you want to make sure that your palms, you know, kind of rest or grab your knees. So that means you're trying to get 90 degrees or as close to it as possible. If you can't bend your back that much, you're not going to be able to put your hands on your knees. Again, it's not an obligation, but to try to get as close to that as possible is min al-mandubat. It's something that's recommended to do. That's what he means by tamkeen, you know, to have the hands kind of securely there, touching the knees when you're in the ruku' position. وَالتَّجْنِيحُ فِيهِ وَفِي السُّجُودِ مَعَ رَفْعِ بَطْنِهِ عَنْ فَخْرِدَيْهِ. Right, and to have them in the ruku'a, تَجْنِيح means you leave a little bit of space, not a lot, when you're going down to ruku'a, so you're not having it like this, but a little bit of space. And in the sujood as well. For women, it's women should be the opposite, women should bring it in more. Men is going to be a little bit out more. مَا رَفْعَ بَطْنِهِ عَنْ فَخِذَيْهِ. But also with the stomach not touching the thighs when you're in prostration, or as best as you can. So some people that's difficult to do, but it should be to the degree where your back is kind of a little bit arched, you're resting and you're holding your weight up with your knees and with your hands, and then your stomach is not lowered so that it's touching your thighs while you're doing that. رَفْعَ بَطْنِهَا عَنْ فَخِذَيْهِ. So raising the stomach from above the thighs. وَقَوْلُ رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ لِلْمَأْمُومِ وَالْفَذِ. As we mentioned earlier, when the imam says سَمِعَ اللَّهُ مِنْ حَمِدَ, when he comes back from up from الْقُوَى, then you would say رَبَّنَا لَكَ الْحَمْدُ, or you can say رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ. So either with the waw or without it. لِلْمَأْمُومِ وَالْفَذِ. For the one who is praying behind the imam, or the one who's praying by themselves. So the one who's praying by themselves is actually going to say both. So you're going to say, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ مِنْ حَمِدَ, رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ, both of them. And then you say, Allahu Akbar, to go down into your sujood. وَالْإِفْضَاءُ فِي الْجَلَسَاتِ. Right, which is that when you are sitting in the sitting position, the Maliki say it's all the same. Basically, you're sitting on your left backside, and not your foot is not going to be underneath your backside, as in some of the other schools. So every sitting for the Malikis, they will be sitting on the left backside, rather than their leg coming up, sitting on their leg underneath. And that's in the middle tashahud, that's in the second tashahud, that's in every jalsa in the prayer. That also may take some getting used to. It's not very easy to pull the first time, but it may take some discipline to learn. وَوَضَعُ الْيَدَيْنِ فِيهَا عَلَى الْفَخِذَيْنِ وَرُؤُوسَ الْأَصَابِعَ عَلَى الْرُكْبَتَيْنِ. And putting the hands, when you're in that sitting position, on your thighs, like a little bit above the knees, وَرُؤُوسَ الْأَصَابِعَ عَلَى الْرُكْبَتَيْنِ. So رُؤُوسَ الْأَصَابِعَ, which means the top of your fingers, will be reaching the knees, but you have your hands, your palms basically resting on the first part of your thigh. وفي التشهدين يجعل الثلاثة وسط الكف مادا السبابة إلى جانب الإبهام ويحركها دائما. So in the tashahud, the left hand is going to be like this. The right hand, you're going to take the three fingers and you're going to kind of curl them, and you have the thumb coming out, and then you have what's called the sabbaba, or musabbih has a nicer word. Right, sabbaba means, you know, the one that you're talking down to people, sabbaba, cursing them, or musabbiha, the one that makes tasbih. So it's kind of, actually, sometimes they call it the 59, because you have a 5, and then you have a 9. Here's the 5, Here's the 9, and then you hold it like this. And then, you know, gently back and forth while you're reciting the tashahud. What are the fissunnah? That's something in the sunnah. You know, don't take it overboard. Don't like have like a frantic taharuk. Just something that's not distracting to you nor the others who are in prayer with you. وَيُحَرِّكُهَا دَائِمًا تَحْرِيكُ, while you're doing it. وَالصَّلَاةُ عَلَى النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. This salat on Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم comes in the second part of the tashahud. So that part is mandub, whereas the first part is sunnah. والدعاء في التشهد الأخير. And there's a dua that you can say also after you finish the second tashahud. Any dua you can say, and maybe we'll put on the group, inshallah, we'll put some of those dua written out and translated in English as well for each integral of the prayer that has been recommended in these particular parts. والتيامن في سلام التحليل. Tayammun means turning slightly towards the right when you say Assalamu Alaikum. And again, keep in mind that in every movement of the prayer where we say something, we want the beginning of when we start to say something at the beginning of the movement, and then the last syllable, or the last syllable of what we're saying to be the end part of the movement. So I don't say Assalamu Alaikum and then turn my head. I say Assalamu Alaikum. So the mim from alaykum is going to be pronounced when I have turned to the right. And the as-salam, I start off facing towards the imam or facing towards the qibla. As-salamu alaykum. Right? And it doesn't mean you have to turn your head all the way. It's not as-salamu alaykum. You know, just a little bit. Tayammum. Turn towards the right. والقنوت ومحله في الأخيرة من الصبح ويندب تقديمه على الركوع والإصرار به وكونه بهذا اللفظ وهو. So القنوت then is called the it's a special type of dua that said you know, al-qanit is the one who is standing, you know, in supplication and fervently before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and generally it means you do it while you're standing, right? So this is a dua that said standing. The other madhahib have it too. The Shafi'i madhahib also has qunut, and it's specifically in the subah prayer. The unique thing about the Malikiyyah though is they say it before the ruku'ah, recommended. So not after the ruku'ah, like in the Shafi'i school, but before the ruku'ah. So you finish reciting the second surah, and then you say the following dua, al-qunut, bihadha Allah, Allahumma inna nasta'inuka wa nastaghfiruka wa nu'minu bik wa natawakkal alayk, wa nuthni alayka al-khayra kullah, wa nashkuruka wa la nakfuruk, wa nakhna'u laka wa nakhna'u, wa natruku man yakfuruk, Allahumma iyaka na'budu wa laka nusalli wa nasjud, وإليك نسعى ونحفد نرجو رحمتك ونخاف عذابك إن أو عذابك الجد إن هذا الرواية إن عذابك بالكافرين إما ملحق أو ملحق روايتان. And more or less it's like that. There's another riwayah of Qunut that is in the Shafi'i madhab that's a little different than this, but this also was narrated in Muwatta, so they're both okay to say. Again, we'll put that on the on the group in transliterated form for people to recite. And that's only to be recited in the subah prayer after the second surah. And if you forget to do it, it's not a sunnah, so you don't do sujood as-sahw. In the Shafi'i school, it is. So if you're praying behind a Shafi'i and they forget it and they do go sujood as-sahw, that's on their madhab, not on our madhab. And then he also brings here loves the tashahud, which is nice, which we'll also put on the website. Or on the group. التحيات لله الزاكيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى بلدنا الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله. So that part is the tashahud. The second part is the salat على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. ويقول ندبا بعد تشهد السلام اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت وباركت على إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Right, so that is called the Salat on the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That part is not Sunnah, it's Mandub. The other part is Sunnah. وتدعو بما تيسر. And then you make the dua, and he includes some of them here after the second part in the Tashahud, and you could say something like مغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولإمتنا ولمن سبقنا بالإيمان مغفرة عزمة. To ask forgiveness for you. Yourself and your parents and your imams and those who came before us with iman. وَمَغْفِرْ لَنَا مَا قَدَّمْنَا وَمَا أَخَّرْنَا. May Allah forgive us that which you have, that which had come before and that which is still yet to come. وَمَا أَسْرَرْنَا وَمَا أَعْلَنَا. That which we did privately, that which we did publicly. وَمَا أَنْتَ أَعْلَمُ بِهِ مِنَّا. That which only you know. رَبَّنَا أَتِينَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. اللهم إنا أعوذ بك من عذاب القبر وأعوذ بك من فتنة المسيح الدجال وأعوذ بك من فتنة المحيا والممات. And there's different riwayat about what you can say with the dua. I would recommend for most people to memorize some of this and then to say that in their prayer. That would be best. So the next section is al-nittilat, that which nullifies the prayer. But I think we'll save that for the next time. Inshallah, we'll stop here for this session. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Rasulillahi wa ala sahabi ajma'in. Subhanallah wa rizqi amma yasifoon. Wa salamu ala al-mursaleen. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.